What a beer keg can teach us about the trade war. I'm David Brancaccio in New York, and what's seen as an escalation of the trade war, China reportedly has stopped buying U.S. soybeans, at least for now. China used to be by far the number one foreign market for U.S. soybean farmers. Bloomberg News says the government buyers of soybeans in China no longer have approval to buy more. And this morning we have a teachable moment involving one company in the crosshairs of this global trade dispute. There's news the U.S. government is imposing new duties on imports of stainless steel kegs, as in the thing that holds beer. This after the Commerce Department determined that China, Mexico, and Germany were selling kegs at what it considers less than fair value. That's called dumping. Marketplace's Justin Ho has been following this, Justin.
So yeah, let's start in March of last year first. So that's when the president imposed tariffs on steel and aluminum. Tariffs made the price of foreign metal imports shoot up, which allowed American metal producers to increase prices too. And so American companies that rely on steel ended up paying that price. Companies like the American Keg Company, which uses that American steel.
Sounds like this company was a part of this new anti-dumping decision?
Yeah, Marketplace talked to the CEO of the American Keg Company, Paul Zacher, shortly after the steel and aluminum tariffs took effect.
I'm sure the steel industry needs some protection, but there's some unintended consequences for companies such as us that have competition that make imports. And on the U.S. side, our cost for domestic steel is going to increase because of these tariffs.
So that idea of protection is key here. He said we need a level playing field. So American Keg Company wound up petitioning the government to look into whether foreign competitors were selling kegs in the U.S. at unfairly low prices.
Which takes us to the last 24 hours. What's the development?
So the Commerce Department investigated and found that keg companies in Germany, Mexico, and China are dumping their kegs in the U.S. And so now there's a new duty, this time on those foreign beer kegs. This is preliminary, but this is all just one example of the spillover effects tariffs can have from Chinese steel to the beer we drink.
All right. Marketplace's Justin Ho, thank you. Let's check markets. The FTSE index in London is up 0.6%. Here, U.S. stock index futures are up by 0.3% in the case of the Dow, S&P, and the NASDAQ futures. Faster internet speeds are officially a reality in parts of the United Kingdom today, but the speediness of fifth generation, or 5G, connectivity comes with limitations. The BBC's Victoria Craig reports from London.
For just under $70 a month, streaming headaches and slow download speeds could disappear, at least for customers of Britain's EE mobile network giant, which today becomes the first company in the UK to flip the switch on 5G technology. The service is up to 120 times faster than 4G and means downloading an entire movie could take just 5 seconds. The service launches in 6 UK cities with plans to add 10 more by 2020. Customers who want to use it, though, will need to buy a new 5G-enabled phone. At least in the short term, the technology is expected to complement rather than replace Wi-Fi and 4G. That's because the 5G technology that creates these super-fast airwaves doesn't reach everywhere, at least not yet. China's Huawei was long expected to provide equipment for carriers in the 5G rollout across the globe, but EE, along with major phone carriers in the United States, has banned it, citing security concerns. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now a story about how even a court order doesn't get back pay out of employers who've swindled their employees. In one recent year, American workers lost billions of dollars to what's called wage theft. That's according to the Progressive Economic Policy Institute. It's often low-wage workers who have few resources to get bosses to cough up unpaid wages. Houston Public Media's Elizabeth Troval reports.
Hola, buenas tardes.
Sharon De Leon is an advocate for workers in Houston. She's calling a taco truck owner on behalf of Maria Soto, who is seeking unpaid wages.
Quería hablarle sobre el caso de la señora María Soto.
A justice of the peace ruled in March that Soto, a legal resident, is entitled to $1,600 in back pay. But so far, she hasn't seen a dime. Soto says she's frustrated.
Frustrada, bueno, o sea.
Frustrated and at the same time afraid, no?
And afraid she may never see the money. Marianela Acuña Arriaza is all too familiar with this story. She's director of the Faith and Justice Worker Center, a nonprofit that works with low-wage workers.
For this year, 100% of the cases that we have taken to both the Texas Workforce Commission as well as Justice of the Peace courts here in the city, we have won and we have recovered $0.
In Texas, justices of the peace don't have direct enforcement power in wage cases, though their rulings can be used to take further steps to seek payment. Over the last year, the average wage theft claim through the Workers' Center has been about $3,300, close to 22% of the annual income for a worker earning minimum wage. And the problem stretches beyond her organization.
We believe that what we report is the very tip of the iceberg.
The Economic Policy Institute found that in the 10 biggest states, 17% of low-wage workers experience wage theft each year. Employers steal from them by paying less than the required minimum wage. David Cooper is the Institute's senior economic analyst.
In minimum wage violations alone, employers are pocketing about $15 billion annually from low-wage workers.
And that $15 billion doesn't take into account unpaid overtime and other forms of wage theft. In Houston, I'm Elizabeth Trovall for Marketplace.
And there's still plenty of work to do on this, but a huge new trade agreement formally goes into effect today in Africa. The African Continental Free Trade Area is moving forward after 22 countries signed on recently. They're going for 55 countries, and if each one ratifies, this would be the biggest global trade deal since the World Trade Organization was set up 24 years ago. Some very big economies are in, South Africa and Egypt. Heavyweight Nigeria is still on the fence. It's a trade deal that would cover countries with 1.2 billion people combined. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.